one, let's turn in our hymnal, in our Bibles. I'm used to saying hymnals up here all the time. Let's turn in our Bibles. This thing is a little bit loud here, I think. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. The Gospel of John chapter 6. Just recently, our Lord has fed the 5,000. And he traveled with his disciples to the other side of the sea, to Capernaum. And when he arrived in Capernaum, many of those who were fed by the Lord on the other side of the sea took shipping and followed after him, and they found him. And when they found him, they came there, and Jesus said it to them. They came there just because they wanted to be fed, not because they saw a miracle. The miracle was our Lord Jesus Christ. The feeding was a miracle of his because, as we'll read in this passage, he says, "I am the bread of life." Verse 28 of John chapter 6. After he had told them to not labor for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be all taught of God.' Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how majestic and marvelous and glorious you are. Thank you, Father, for an everlasting love, undeserved, but given by you for your people that you've chosen. And thank you, Lord, because of that love, you sent your own Son to die upon Calvary's tree, to shed his blood, that we might have redemption and forgiveness of sin. And thank you this morning that we have the opportunity now to worship you. And oh, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. We realize many who came to you, when they worshiped you, the first thing they said was, Lord, you're sovereign. You're God. You're in control. You know all things. You guide all things. You are all things to your people. Oh, how thankful we are for a sovereign God who is in control. And in this worship service this morning, may we cry out, Lord, Abba, Father. May we worship the Lord Jesus Christ and give praise and honor and glory to his name. For we know, Lord, that his name is above every name. And at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord to the glory of the Father. Bless this service. Bless our pastor and Shirley as they travel. We pray that you would bring them back safely to us. Bless this message this morning. Help me as the messenger to say the truth. To say the truth in Christ and lie not. Oh, Father, give us clarity. Give us understanding. Give us hearing ears that only come from you. We confess, Lord, that we are but sinners. We need you, your help, your guidance. We need your power this morning. For we know that all power is given unto you in heaven and in earth. We know that you promised to meet here with us where two or three are gathered. And so, Lord, we're looking forward to meeting with Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn again with me to John chapter 6. I want to draw your attention to a couple of verses here before we move into the message. In John chapter 6, they asked him, our Lord, what can we do to do the work of God? And Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's God's work. We'll see that here in just a minute, a little bit more. That's God's work, to believe on him whom he has sent. And he who he has sent is our Lord Jesus Christ, his own beloved Son. In verse 39, he says, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me. Here's the Father's will. I remember a young man back in my college days that spent most of his time trying to find out what the will of God was for his life. I didn't know it then. I thought I did. But he spent years trying to find out what God's will was for his life. I wished I would have known what I know now. I could have told him, well, right here it is. This is the Father's will. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the gospel. That's grace. That's sovereign grace. That's God at work. That's God's will. Whatever other will you may think of or try to find, at least we know from Scripture what the Father's will is. And the Father's will is all about his Son. It's all about his Son. From eternity to eternity, it's all about his Son. In the covenant that the Trinity made, it was all about his Son. The Father had a people, and he made his Son, and his Son became surety for those people. God, he provided salvation and redemption for those people. And the Spirit of God effectually calls those people. And then God, in his love, wherewith he loved us, sent his only begotten Son. God became man, Emmanuel, God with us, sent his only begotten Son so that we could see the Father. If you've seen me, Jesus said, you have seen the Father. He said that to Philip. Philip said, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Philip, you've been so long time with me and not seen the Father. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And what does the Father want us to do? What is his will? To see his Son. And so I've entitled my message, What is the Work and the Will of God? I can entitle it a lot of different ways. I can entitle it Sovereign Grace. Because that's what this is all about. Brother Henry Mahan said this is one of the clearest scriptures about sovereign grace. Our Lord has done all that's necessary for the salvation of his people. He is now doing all that is necessary to effect salvation in his people. And our Lord has not, will not, will never fail in his work or will. Can you imagine God failing in his work? Could you imagine God failing in his will? If he willed to do something, don't you think it'll be done? If he works something, don't you think it'll be done? So these men, in verse 28, came to our Lord Jesus Christ and said, what shall we do? That is the question man brings up in his own evil, rebellious, wicked heart, day in and day out. What can I do? The Lord said, not a thing. That's the essence of the answer. There's not one thing you could do to do the works of God. Man thinks he has to do something. That's why Paul wrote the whole book of Galatians. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel. from another. Let's read it. Let me get it right. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So soon removed to another gospel. The two words another here are actually two completely different words. The first another comes from a word in Greek which is heteros, and we use it heterosexual, opposite sex. I marvel that you removed to another gospel, one that's of a different kind. And then he said, which is not another. Now the other another here is another Greek word which means of the same kind. You're removed from a gospel that's of a different kind. You're to a gospel that's of a different kind, and you're removed away from the gospel that's of the same kind, the true gospel, the gospel of God's grace, the gospel of God's sovereign grace. Man thinks he has to do something. He must exercise his so-called free will. John said we're not born again of the will of man, the will of the flesh. We're born again by God. It's not by your will. Paul said it in Romans chapter 9. It's not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth. But I've got a free will. Yes, you do, and the only thing you can do with that is sin. Scott Richardson said it's like a frog in the belly of a snake. The frog has just captured it. The frog wants to get out and will do everything in its power to get out. But he won't get out because he's in the belly of the snake. We're in sin. We are unable to do anything about our sin. We're sinners before a holy God. And by the way, even that has to be taught us, doesn't it? Because every one of us have something we want to slap our back about and say, well, I've got something decent about me. Well, you may be a decent person. You may be a high moral person. But all are sinners before a holy God. Even the stars. And the heavens are unclean in his sight. Man thinks he's got to become holy. And I got to keep myself holy. I read books after book, book after book after book. And so many people tell us, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. If we love the Lord, we got to do this and we got to do that. Thank the Lord Jesus did it all. And I don't got to do a thing. That mean you can do anything you want to? It means that I love my Lord so much, I want to walk as he walked. I want to live as he lived. Not because I have to, because I believe that is a way to worship him. To say, Lord, I do love you. Proverbs 20 verse 9 said, who can say I have made myself, my heart clean? Who can say I am pure from my sin? Not one of us. If any man say that he have no sin, he is a liar, John said. In the next two verses he says, and you make God a liar. Because God said, all are sinners. No man can do the work of God. If man could do the work of God, it would be man's work, not the Lord's. Is that too simple? If man could do the work of God, it'd be man's work, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be God's work. If man could do the work of God, it'd be of the flesh and not of the spirit, wouldn't it? And if man could do the work of God, you can best bet he'll boast of his accomplishments. He'll glorify himself and not God. Only God is able to do God's work. It's all of grace or it's not of grace. Pure and simple. And let me prove that to you. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Find 1st and 2nd Timothy, and right after that, the book of Titus. Two books before the book of Hebrews. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by works. It's not anything that you and I could ever do, could do, or want to do. It's not by that at all. It's by the mercy of God that we're saved. Look at back a few books there to Romans chapter 11. Let's see if we can nail it down just a little bit more here. In Romans chapter 11. And verse 6. Let's start with verse 5. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That's pretty clear, isn't it? It's not by our works. What shall we do, they said, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answers in verse 29, John chapter 6. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. What's God's work? All God's work centered around his son. Our God did all the work. No wonder David said, he is all my salvation. It's nothing we do. It's eternally done. It's effectually done in every one of God's people. He has put away our sins. He's made us priests and kings unto our God. He has reconciled us by his blood, with his blood. God's work is to cause us to believe on his son. That's God's work. Look in Psalm 65. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. God has given his people to his son. We read that in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. God draws them to his Son. Why? Because there's only one person that's ever pleased the Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people are accepted in the Beloved. They are in him. I'm talking about something that is such a wonderful comfort and encouragement to God's people, that God's done all the work. It's all done. It's all settled. Forever. Nothing you have to do. Because God will do the choosing. God has done the choosing. God will do the drawing. God will cause you to believe on his Son. All scriptures testify of him, don't they? From beginning to end, they all testify. It's what the Lord Jesus said. All scripture testify of me. God's work is to cause us to believe on his Son. But, or with that, this is the good work of God's workmanship, I believe. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know the scripture quite well, I'm sure, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. That believing is a gift of God. That believing comes from God himself. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice verse 10 now. In the same context. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There may be other things here in this passage that we could put in here, but I believe the one thing in our context here and in my preaching this morning is the good work is believing on Jesus Christ. And we couldn't do it unless he caused us to, unless he drew us to himself. You see, God chose a people for his Son. God providentially cared for those people and brought them, drew them to his Son. The steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord. We say, well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Sure is. But we're in Christ, aren't we? The only goodness I have is his. The only goodness I could be is in him. God's people shall be willing, I love this, shall be willing in the day of his power. Not hopeful, not God's intention that you would be saved, not God's trying that you might know and understand sovereign grace and it'd be a part of your life. You shall. I will, you shall. That's how it works. God's people shall be willing in the day of his power. I'm not a robot. I'm not a puppet on a string. He just makes his Son so beautiful, so loving, so tender, so kind, so attractive that we cannot help but come to him. That's what our God does. That's why we call it sovereign grace. He makes them new creatures in Christ. He gives them faith to believe. And how does that come? Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Another familiar portion of scripture that we read a lot, but oh, how important it is. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's verse 13. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. By God's grace, that's what I want to do. It's what I've prayed about all since the pastor told me that I'd be speaking this morning, praying that the gospel of grace would be heard. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, verse 16. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's a miracle in itself. And only God can do that miracle. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the work of God is to believe on him whom he hath sent. Now what's the will of God? Look down in verse 30, 39 of John 6. Verse 39 says, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, and of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Do you notice it's all about the ones that the Father gave the Son? That's sovereign grace. The Father gave these people to his Son. When Jesus prayed that mediatorial prayer, the real Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, I want you to notice from all that we've been talking about what he said, how he prayed. John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, and that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and that thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You see, it is given to us to believe on his name. We are given to the Son of God. The sent one will not lose one. Not one of his sheep will be lost. For 60 years, I believed that another gospel, hetero, of another kind. And then God preached through Pastor Donnie the truth to me. I heard sovereign grace for the first time. Didn't know what to think of it at first, but the more I studied it, the more I realized that's the truth. That's the truth. Moses was one of God's chosen ones, and it wasn't until 80 years old that God revealed himself to him. There's hope for us, isn't it? Jesus Christ is living. His sheep are still out there. If it were not so, we'd all be with him in glory right now. Some of his sheep are still out there. And he's going and he's seeking to save those that are lost. He came not to minister to the righteous, but to sinners. Sinners who are in need. Did he come for you? Has the Father's will been shown to you? Of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, and then I'll raise it up at the last day. Not only give that person new life, but I'll conform him to the image of Jesus Christ. And in that last day, I'll make him look just like him. We'll take on totally his personality, his pureness, his righteousness, his holiness. And we'll be able to stand before God. Isaiah stood before the throne of God, and he had to cower before God and fall on his face and say, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. But one of these days, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because of sovereign grace, we'll be able to stand, because we'll stand before the Son of God. We'll stand before Jesus Christ. We'll have no condemnation fired at us. Everything will be right. Right now, I live in this body of flesh. Don't know about you, but not everything gets right. Bless the Lord, one day I'll stand before Him and it will all be right for all eternity. This is the Father's will. It's eternally decreed. No wonder they will be singing, and we'll be singing with them one of these days in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created. No wonder the psalmist David said, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. And again, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and earth, in the seas and the deep places. No wonder God took an old reprobate king, made him go crazy, and then gave him his thoughts back again. And when he did, this king testified, I bless the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And who can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? We have no right. God's will, God's work, is always right. Our God's sovereign will is all about His Son. Do you notice here He says in verse 39, He was sent by the Father? The Father sent Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Father sent Him. Must have been a reason for it. Why would God send His own Son in the form of human flesh? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's why He came. That's why He came. And He is the only one who has ever seen the Father. Even the angels, as we read about Isaiah bowing at the throne, even the angels had six wings, and with twain they covered their face, crying out, holy, holy, holy. Even the angels will not look upon Him or cannot look upon Him. They've not seen Him. But our Lord Jesus has. He's seen the Father. He is God Himself. No man has seen the Father at any time. The only begotten of the Father, He hath declared Him. If you want to see the Father, you look at the Son. And the Father says, if you want to see anything, you look at the Son. You look at Jesus Christ. There's where hope is. There's where our salvation is. There's where life is. He that hath the Son hath life. There's where redemption is. There's where reconciliation is. That's where the sinner has his sins put away, in the person of Jesus Christ. If you see the Son, you'll see the Father. And did you notice, as we read through here, our Lord did the will of the Father. He did just exactly what the Father wanted Him to do. He said, as we read in John chapter 17, the words that he spoke were the Father's words. He spoke every word just what the Father wanted him to say. And he's the only person that's ever been able to do it, because he's God. I can't do it, but he did it. He was perfect. Perfectly obedient. And because he was perfectly obedient, he could be that perfect sacrifice who would die upon Calvary's tree and shed his blood. And that blood would be the redemption of our sins, would be the payment for. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died on that cross. Of all that the Father gives him, he's not going to lose a thing. The Father wants everyone to see his Son and to believe on him. What's the Father's will? The Father's will that a people be given to his Son. He did that. The Father's will is for people to see his Son. He's doing that. As a matter of fact, only the Father could reveal that. The Lord Jesus asked his disciples one day, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, they came up with all kinds of things. Then he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter and the other disciples said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." They saw. And the Lord said, "You know, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed it to you." The Father's will is that these people believe on the Son. And he gives you faith through the hearing of the Word of God to believe on Jesus Christ. It's the Father's will that these people be taught of God. Look at verse 45, John 6. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God." God's the teacher. It's not my commentary on the Word of God that means much of anything. It's God's Word. That's what means something. God's Word that's forever settled in heaven. God's Word that is true and righteous. That's what means something. And that's what he teaches his people. "My sheep hear my voice," he said. And he hears his voice through God sent preachers. I'm so thankful for a pastor who preaches the gospel every service. I wouldn't want anything else, would you? I heard one young man say one time, "Well, we hear the same thing over and over again." And I thought to myself, "Well, you don't know who our Savior is then. Because that's all I want to hear. Over and over again. What our Lord Jesus Christ has done for his people." These people are taught of God. They learn of the Father by coming to the Son. They're blessed of God. Verse 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." They're blessed of God. You didn't have life before. God gave you life. And that life is in his Son. "He that hath the Son hath life." And it's everlasting life because it's the Son's life. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." The scripture speaks of us being transformed by the will of God, being delivered by the will of God, being perfect and complete in all the will of God, being sanctified by the will of God. Let me note one more thing with you this morning. James chapter 1, verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. Speaking of the Father, that's who it says in verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of his own will. You see, salvation is all the work of God. That's sovereign grace. It's all the will of God. And when God works it, it's done. When God wills it, it's done. And then he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Do you know that's a command? He is not intending for you to come to him. He's not hoping that you'll come to him. He's not knocking on your heart's door, hoping you'll open that door and come to him. It's a command. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. And he gives us that command here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you did all the work and you did it in your Son. Thank you, Lord, that it's all of your will and it's all about your Son. And thank you, Lord, that you're the one who will draw us. You're the one who calls us to believe. You're the one who will bring us and has given us to Jesus Christ. Thank you for sovereign grace, for your work and your will. And oh, Father, may we come unto your Son. May we see your Son. Whom to know is to have life eternal. Bless us as we go our way today. Bless Brother Brad as he brings the message tonight. Keep them safe as they travel back from Bluefield. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless your people here. And oh, may your sheep hear your voice even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing number 120.